welcome to a Wednesday edition of What's on Your Mind. Very simple question we ask each and every weekday morning all across the Northern Plains. Tell us what's on your mind. You know what's on my mind today, Mark Skogerbo?
What could that possibly be?
Outrage. I am absolutely just spitting nails mad that some bureaucrat would think it's okay to deny family members of fallen heroes just traditional benefits they would normally get and try and blame a political spat.
So they can't even go and meet the plane when there's 17 dead military since this thing started. They can't even go and be compensated for funeral expense. They're supposed to get an automatic $100,000 for the family.
You know, here's the deal. In the grand scheme of what the Defense Department spends, this is like you and I having some loose change in our pocket. You know, find a way. Just make this happen. You know, this is it's so obvious what's going on here. To try and inflict as much pain as possible and try and
even been sated.
Score points in a political battle. I mean, but it's one thing to, you know, shut down an outlook or something. But this to me is just absolutely outrageous. This is offensive that you do this to family members of fallen heroes. Come on.
It shows that the culture of this presidency is not patriotic.
I don't know what it shows. Stupidity beyond belief and petty politicalness and nastiness, and it's just, it ought to be stopped. Kevin Cramer's going to join us in the 10 o'clock hour, final hour of the program today. It is the hour each week where we say, hey, anything you want to ask of your member of Congress. Obviously, this battle continues, and I know the House has recognized some of these things, tried to pass them piecemeal for a fix, and of course, nothing's happening in the Senate because they, along with the president, are just saying, sorry.
I sat and watched that whole press conference yesterday, and it really upset me to go into Common Sense Club after watching that. I was disturbed, very disturbed. So we're going to have somebody from Heritage on talking about that outrageous speech, which was so full of misstatement.
That's what's on my mind today, but we have a lot of topics we'll tackle today on the program. David Barton is going to be here at the bottom of the hour, and David Barton will actually be in town this weekend. And
I'm very happy about that.
He will be speaking at a Harvest Leadership Prayer Breakfast on Saturday. And that's at the Concordia College Centrum in Moorhead from 9 to 10:30. And they have some special musical guests and local leaders. But David Barton, for those of you that are not familiar with that name, heads a group called Wall Builders. It's a pro-family organization that really does a lot to celebrate, unfortunately, forgotten history.
Yeah, and he goes to original sources. So many contemporary historians quote each other in their opinions, but he goes back to the letters. He's got an incredible library and archives there in Aledo, Texas. I've been with him maybe six different times, including a couple of days in Washington with 99 pastors. And this man gives a tour of Washington that's just unbelievable.
I'll bet he does. That must be something.
Tremendous.
So we'll talk a little bit about forgotten history and heroes and
the faith of our fathers,
the moral, religious, and constitutional heritage of this great country with David Barton, and also give you details on the Harvest Leadership Prayer Breakfast, an area tradition since 1978. It's been going on a long time, and the community is invited and welcome to attend, sponsored by the Valley Christian Leadership Association. Tickets at the Valley at the Family Christian Stores in Hurley's in Fargo, Melbourne Christian and Book and Gift in Moorhead, all Hornbacher's locations, or you can get them from committee members as well. More on that at the bottom of the hour. But a special guest this hour of the program, David Barton, on the program. Wonder what he thinks of this current debate. Wonder what he thinks the founding fathers would think of this current debate.
I have no doubt what they would think of it.
Also on the program today, Rudy Martinson is going to join us. Rudy is the head of the North Dakota Hospitality Association. Story in the Dickinson Press caught my attention last week, suggesting that newcomers to North Dakota often ask two things. Why nothing is open until noon on Sunday, and why do the bars close so early? And the North Dakota Chamber of Commerce is suggesting that these laws are antiquated and something ought to be done. We asked our listeners about this on Facebook, and most folks actually think more things should be closed on Sunday. Not more things open.
North Dakota's got, they're called blue laws, and North Dakota leads the country in, you know, for example, Walmart, you can't even go there. Most Walmarts are 24/7, except they can't be open Sunday morning till noon.
A blue law.
Blue law.
You know what the a blue law is?
Well, it just makes some of the merchandisers kind of blue, you know.
Is that why they came up with that name? Is that
no, I have
name?
No idea.
The technical definition is a type of law designed to restrict or ban some or all Sunday shopping for religious
right.
standards and reasons, and observe a day of worship and rest. I don't know why they call them blue laws, though, quite honestly. Not sure where that term comes from.
I remember seeing there's used to be certain things you could get groceries on Sunday, but not merchandise, and they put up some kind of blue ribbons. I've seen that.
Like, is that right?
Yeah, in like Kmart's and things like that, that it would be, actually could be open for their grocery side.
North Dakota, one of about 10 or 11 states that still have some significant laws concerning this, and there's local regulations. So anyway, we're going to dig into that topic a little bit today, too, and then Congressman Kevin Cramer in the final hour. So here's kind of a fun story. The president weighed in recently on the issue of the Washington Redskins and their name. Did you see this?
Yes.
And
he'd want somebody's feelings hurt.
Yes, exactly. But guess what? Whose feelings do you think most likely would be hurt, according to the president and others, as because of the name?
People with red skins or some kind of blemish.
Yeah. Well, I guess Native Americans, right, is who they would be.
Well, that's what he thinks, but yeah. But how sad to be ferocious, tenacious, fighting, feisty. I think it's a great compliment to our Native Americans.
My ultimate favorite here is that a new poll suggests that Native Americans asked about this. 4 to 5 did not find it offensive.
Of course not.
Well, I mean, to me, this is, I guess if you were looking to be offended about the name of a team, Redskins would probably be on the top of the list. I mean, in other words, if you're easily offended, if you think team names are derogatory when they depict a kind of people, use the mascot, if you will, of people, Redskins probably be right up there, right? I guess. In other words, Fighting Sioux depicts the name of a particular tribe, right? It's the name of the
and
tribe.
The Blackhawks.
And the same thing there. That's a Chippewa tribe, I guess?
Yeah, particular.
But Redskins is more of a slang type term directed towards Native Americans, right? But here, Native Americans themselves, 4 out of 5 are saying doesn't offend me.
So they're proud of their skin.
Doesn't this render this whole debate over Native American team names as stupid?
I like the way you said that.
Should we use this as a motivation to revisit the name of the University of North Dakota?
Well, everywhere I look, I see Sioux memorabilia and decals and shirts and jackets. Sioux. I think, politically correctness just gives me the willies. I believe in the freedom of speech. I believe that people can have their own name for their own schools, and some faraway goofus doesn't need to be offended. They need to get a life.
Story in Associated Press also notes the fact that Native American schools call their teams Redskins.
Sure they do.
Yeah. So if the term is used affectionately by some natives, like schools, then what's the problem? 90% of respondents did not consider the team. In the only recent poll to ask Native people about the subject, 90% of respondents did not consider.
See, the never-ending attempt to wedge group against group, class against class, this is some kind of, well, that's the game plan of the radical, is class hatred. That's what they do.
This paragraph doesn't make sense here, though. In the only recent poll to ask Native people about the subject, 90% of respondents did not consider although many questioned the cultural credentials of the respondents. I'm missing a line here.
Well, that's
90% of respondents did not consider the name offensive.
No.
So, of course, when that happens, then the victim crowd, like going to say, well, wait a minute, are they authentically Native American to be able to answer that question?
Well, yeah. We've got to take a blood test.
Yeah.
How can you tell the difference? Have you noticed that people's blood is kind of red? Everybody's blood is red? Red underneath the skin, we're all, we're red. read.
Eunice Davidson is quoted in this story. She's a Dakota Sioux that lives on the Spirit Lake Reservation in North Dakota. Says it more or less shows that it is history. Exactly. North Dakota, the scene of a similar controversy over the state's university Fighting Sioux nickname, decisively scrapped.
Yes.
Much to your perpetual chagrin.
For sure. Anyway, these stories and others.
David Barton, yay.
In our focus on what's on your mind, Steve Bakken and I will give you a little preview of that straight ahead. Then David Barton, bottom of the hour.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
A word about agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. When animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers that raise animals for food in our great state, one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices, and the measure passed with more than 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress. Tenants have made this country great. Learn more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state. Your future. Your Farm Bureau. Hunt with heroes. This pheasant opener. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Saturday, October 12th, the Zeeland Project for Wounded Warriors. A very special day in Zeeland, North Dakota, honoring our soldiers. The day kicks off with a pheasant hunt at 8 a.m., followed by an adult and youth trap shoot tournament at 2, with great prizes including shotgun for the top prize. Refuel at 5 at an old-fashioned hog roast and relax at the Freedom Concert, featuring Nashville recording artists Michael Lust and Morgan Seymour. Purchase a raffle ticket for your chance to win a one-of-a-kind guitar signed by Loretta Lynn, Randy Travis, and more, or bid on a variety of silent auction items. The Zeeland Project for Wounded Warriors. Advance tickets are only $20 and available at the Quencher and Hag, the last resort in Zeeland, or online now at StopSmellNow.com or call 701-851-0023. Tickets available day of the event at the Zeeland City Hall, too. All proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior families. Mark your calendars, Saturday, October 12th. Spend the day at a hero's hunt in Zeeland, North Dakota for this pheasant opener.
Turn your food waste into fertilizer. That's right. Turn your food waste into fertilizer with the Bokashi Kits from Terraganics.com. Stop breaking your back turning those big piles of food waste and stop attracting a bunch of unwanted pests and flies. Recycle your leftover vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, bread, pizza crusts, and more with no foul smells, heavy lifting, or turning. It's easy. Finally, a way to recycle all of your food waste safely and effectively. Bokashi Kits turn food waste into fertilizer in as fast as 2 weeks, so it takes less time to create nutrient-rich humus for your garden or crops. No turning and no obnoxious odors. Recycle all your food wastes. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. See the Bokashi system and order your Bokashi kit online at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Name that tune. Can you, Steve?
Yes, sir.
What is it? Can you name this tune?
Theme, isn't it?
Pardon me?
Is it a TV theme?
It's not a TV theme, no.
Oh.
Silver Convention is the folks that perform the song. Come on, this is an 80s. So it's a 70s disco classic. Fly Robin Fly.
Fly Robin.
That song?
Yeah.
Fly Robin Fly. Yeah. All right, I found this story I was reading a printed version of this before, and I wanted to just make sure that I quoted this correctly. Okay, here it is. This is about the Washington Redskins. In the only recent poll to ask Native people about the subject, 90% of respondents did not consider the term offensive. 90%. I think it's time to bring the Fighting Sioux name debate back.
This is a poll survey. First of all, who did they survey?
Native Americans.
It's the biggest question. Pollsters tend to, let's see, we're kind of looking for this answer. Let's ask those people.
Well, and I guarantee you most pollsters would be trying to look for an outcome very different than this so they could include it in a story to go, see how offensive this is. That's the beauty of this. It's consistent with other polls. Remember Sports Illustrated did that poll where they specifically went through all the names?
Second question, though, first of all, you ask, who was surveyed? Second of all, who paid for the survey?
And does it tell us that? It doesn't. But American Indian Studies, University of Minnesota.
The point is strictly financially. Does it not make sense for the Washington Redskins as an organization to change the name? They've got an excuse. Think of the hundreds of millions of dollars that generate. Everybody's got to buy new jerseys and new team logos.
I know, but Steve, there's something more important than money. It's called principle and tradition and history. And that's why I think the owner's pushing back against this. And I love the fact that 90% of Native Americans in the survey are not offended by it. We're told we're supposed to be offended by it. It's just another...
Where were they during the Fight Sioux nickname controversy?
What's that?
Where were they during the Fighting Sioux nickname controversy? Because I didn't see them stepping up then.
Well, a lot dead, though. I mean, again, I remember the Sports Illustrated poll at that time. Again, the problem there was, you know, a minority of folks were able to push back. I love this story. Here's one a little closer to home in Tioga. This is from the Tioga Tribune. As fans gathered outside at the football field Friday night to cheer their local team just inside, Tioga's top school administrator was resigning over reports he had a weapon on his person in the school. I talk to kids about consequences every day, said Superintendent Dwayne Johnston, who offered his resignation and an apology to school board members. Johnston told the board he brought the gun to school Wednesday due to concerns for safety of students and fellow staff members following an explosive situation with a person who was asked to leave the school grounds the day before. So Johnston visited with police, said he had every confidence in their abilities. He said past experience had taught him that incidents of violence can escalate quickly. Usually it's over before you can have a chance to call, he said. That was the case when he worked at a school in Montana about 10 years ago when he stepped out of the building for just a few moments and found himself locked out as a hostage situation developed. No one was killed, but people were hurt. It was the fear of a similar situation, he said, that led him to the extraordinary decision to bring a weapon into Tioga High School last week. In hindsight, Johnston told school board members it would have been better to insist police keep someone in the building. I did decide to bring that weapon into school because after much contemplation, his concerns outweighed the knowledge he would be breaking state law to do so.
I do, too.
A bill in the last legislative session sought to give school boards the authority to designate someone to carry a concealed weapon. David Rust, who's a former Tioga School District Superintendent, now District 2 Rep, supported that bill. Same with Tioga School Board President Mark Schmidt, but it failed to become law. Why? I have no idea. Even so, said Schmidt, the North Dakota School Boards Association interprets existing laws giving school boards the authority to allow someone to be armed on campus, if not retroactively. I've let the community down, said Johnston, asking for the resignation to take effect at the end of his current contract, which would be next June, and give the board time to make transition plans. The board agreed. Several school board members appeared visibly upset by the prospect of Johnston's departure, particularly in light of his rationale for arming himself. Johnston said it was less that he was concerned for his personal safety and more that he was concerned for the safety of students and fellow staff.
All right, this is one of those opportunities for the community. Here's your local control issue. Go to the school board. Stand up for your superintendent.
I agree. I think the board ought to reject this. See here if we quote any members of the school board.
This opportunity for the community to get involved and go, no, We have an educator that made the right decision for the safety of our kids. We need to support that educator, period.
Rick Cutter said it's a pretty tall responsibility to be taking on yourself. Along with board member Gail Joyce, asked several questions to Johnson to try and understand what caused his actions. Johnson said issues that came to head with an individual last week began during the school year last year. He said other staff members walked on eggshells around the individual. Some students have also had issues with the person. Johnson said he also had difficult dealings with the individual's parents, but the only threats were from the student, while some specific or somewhat nonspecific the threats were significant enough for Johnson to be concerned about violence erupting at the school. He told fellow board members he had been directed by the North Dakota School Boards Association to conduct an investigation into Johnston's actions. He said four different people observed the weapon on Johnston's person inside the school building. Schmidt said he talked to a number of parents both for and against Johnston's actions. Schmidt estimated about 75% of Tioga patrons are probably pro-gun or own a weapon for hunting or self-defense. The superintendent says it was never his intention for anyone to know he had a gun concealed, and the only reason it was seen is I'm not very good at it. Johnson said this was the only occasion he ever carried a weapon into the school. In the process of conducting his investigation, Smith said no one he questioned reported feeling Johnston was a threat to them or anyone else. Smith said a formal letter of reprimand will be placed in Johnston's file. Prior to him bringing to light his intention to resign, Schmidt offered him an administrative leave if he feels he's still in physical danger. I feel better about it now, both because the crisis has passed without further incident and because the community now knows there's a reason for serious concern about the security of the school.
Rally for support.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Long story that continues to go on here.
Now, we've had on the show, different school districts chiming in. Yeah, there's a big chasm between rural and urban when it comes to gun issues and gun safety on campuses for our students. And usually it's the rural schools that are the proactive and the pro-gun, more so than the urban schools, than the larger school districts.
Well, there's some time for folks to weigh in here on this issue, and I agree with you. I mean, he's obviously sticking around until June, but we'll continue to follow this story. David Barton, when we come back, folks.
We want to know what's on your mind, so call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
If you need a building for any reason, you need Bach & Bruce. We're talking hangars. Yeah, as in put airplanes in them. We're talking industrial uses. We're talking garages, workshops, trucking, agriculture, horse barns, arenas, storage buildings, warehouse. They built churches. They built schools. They built fire and police stations. And guess what? If you call them and get a free quote, you're going to see why thousands and thousands of people in the Bakken every day are finding out why Legacy Steel Buildings are the industry leader in providing superior quality, service, and durability at the most competitive prices. But here's the deal. Everybody tells you that, right? It sounds like a sales pitch. Call Bach and Bruce, Bruce Anker, and the team at Legacy Steel Buildings, 800-237-9620. Bruce and his brother Wayne and their family have been building buildings in this part of the world forever. They'll help you out. 800-237-9620. Tell them Scott sent you.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can! It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Well, folks, you are in for a treat. Saturday, Concordia College Central, the 19th Harvest Leadership Prayer Breakfast is featuring the one and only David Barton of Wall Builders, and we're pleased to welcome him to the program, What's on Your Mind, along with Kim Koppelman, who is the gentleman that tipped us off to this event, and also the person who, along with others in the Harvest Leadership Prayer Breakfast, have invited David Barton to come to town. David, welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing well. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Mark Skogerbo is here with me as well, my co-host in this slot, and we're looking forward to chatting with you. And Kim, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good to be back with you, Scott.
This is wonderful. And David, I know you speak a lot around the country, but obviously it's unique for us to get a chance to hear you. So we're looking forward to Saturday to hear more about the meaning of American exceptionalism. My big question for you is, you know, Your work is incredible in educating so many people. Why is this information so lacking in our public school system? Why are these treasures hidden from our youngsters?
There's a couple of answers to that, and I don't know how to say anything except be blunt, because that's statistically what's happening. The statistics show, surveys show, that people who consider themselves to be liberal are less proud of America than any other group. They tend to be more negative toward America. They tend to dislike it more. They tend to be displeased with it more. And currently, at this point, the two most liberal professions in America are media, which six times greater concentration of liberals in media than general population. And second, and the most liberal profession, is academia, 10 times greater concentration of liberals in academia than in any other profession, general America. So what you have is the people who teach our kids hate American exceptionalism. They hate anything that makes America look special. They want us to be like the rest of the world. I'm in the middle of writing a book right now on American exceptionalism. It is unbelievable what these guys say about America from an academic standpoint. Just last year, I'm appointed in a lot of states by state boards of education governors to help write those social studies standards. Last year, I was in two states that are considered to be very red states, very conservative states, writing their history standards. And even in those states, when I said, now, let's make sure we tell kids about American exceptionalism, why we are different, why we have more freedoms, et cetera, and the teachers went crazy. They said, you can't do that. We're not going to tell them about American exceptionalism. And it just baffles me. The hostility that exists toward teaching kids why America is a different nation, why we have more freedoms, why we have more prosperity, what produced that. I don't understand why, but they just don't like that in American education.
You know, Dr. Barton, this is Mark Skogerbo. I was a pastor with you in Washington and have been with you probably many different times, purchased many cases of your books. And one of the things that's so astounding and that you talk about in Original Intent is how the rewriting of history, the omission of history, and most people don't even know that George Washington was bulletproof. I'm on my second case of that great book, and everybody that reads it and your great scholarship realizes, wait a minute, this sounds real, and nobody knows about it.
It sounds real because it is real. not only Washington, but, and it's in the middle of a battle called the Battle of Monongahela, chapter in August of 1754. Washington writes about it from his side, as do other soldiers. That was actually a fight in which Daniel Boone was also involved. He was one of the soldiers under George Washington. But you have the American sides, if you will, writing on it. But you also have the other side, the French and Indian side, writing about it. And both sides agree, because Washington was singled out by the Indians fighting with the French. They attempted to kill him. They tried on several occasions to do so. Washington gets through that battle, and we enter that battle with 1,300 British-American soldiers fighting together against 700 French and Indian soldiers. And at the end of the battle, 30 of the French and Indian are on the ground, and 714 of the American British are on the ground. So it was a lopsided slaughter against the American forces. And out of 86 American British officers, Washington was the only one not shot down off his horse. So at the end of the battle, he writes his family, because word has gone all over the colonies that it was a complete massacre. Everyone was killed. And so Washington's family is all distressed. He writes them and says, no, I'm not dead, but it's by a miracle that I'm not dead. And he talks about the miracle, that when he took his jacket off, he had four bullet holes through his jacket, but somehow no bullet had touched him. He had several horses shot from under him. He had bullet fragments in his hair when he combed his hair, but somehow he was not scratched in any way. And so he counts it, he marks it up as a miracle. And that's the word he used. 15 years later, he was back in that same woods, now time of peace, but some old Indian chiefs came and looked him up and sat down with him over a council fire and said, you don't know us, but we were in the battle with you 15 years ago. Said, we saw you right into the woods. We knew that you were one of the leaders. We knew that if we could single you out and shoot you down, we could scatter the rest of the troops and kill them later. And so we singled you out. And one chief said, my rifle had never before been known to miss. I fired at you 17 times without effect. Another chief testified that he fired 13 times, another 11 times. And so the conclusion they said was, we've come all this way just to meet the man that God would not let die in battle. And that's where they developed such great respect for Washington throughout the rest of his life. He had great relations with the Indian tribes. They used him to settle treaties, disputes between the various tribes, because they believed God's hand was on him. So you have that occasion. You also have the Battle of Brandywine. You have other battles as well, Long Island, where the same thing happened. People had Washington on their sides and just couldn't bring him down.
Now, that story is unbelievable, and I've read the book cover to cover and just love it. Hair stands on the back of your neck. I mean, as you say, Washington describes it as a miracle. The Native American tribal leaders say you're a man of God. It's clearly divine intervention that was part of that battle. How many schools in America is that taught in today, that story?
I have seen that in no current American textbook, period. And I deal with scores of American textbooks. I've seen no current American textbook that carries that story.
Outrageous.
Although, if you check before World War II, you probably will not find an American textbook that did not have that story.
Before when?
Before World War II. That was a common story up through the 20s and the 30s in America. World War II is when most of our textbooks started changing and going in a different direction.
So what is the purpose of keeping that from our children? Is this an anti-religion bent of the liberal side, in addition to an anti-American side? Why would you keep that great story from informing our youth?
One of the things that happens in academia, and particularly in textbooks, is what's called deconstructionism. And in deconstructionism, what you do is you point out all the negatives and you don't point out the positives. So typically what happens is you teach the exception, not the rule. When it comes to the faith of the founders, what you are regularly taught is the founding fathers are atheists, agnostics, deists, and here's the proof. Look at Jefferson and Franklin. Sorry, guys, there's 250 founding fathers. You've just shown me two. For every non-religious founder you show, I'll name you five religious founders, and you'll run out a long time before I do. That's the same reason textbooks say, oh, the founding fathers were the racists and bigots and slave owners. Well, look at Thomas Jefferson. Okay, you've just shown me one slave owner among the founding fathers. Show me the others. As it turns out, about 70% of founding fathers are anti-slavery. They are pro-abolition. But what happens in textbooks is we will take one or two to make them look bad. That's called deconstructionism. We make America look bad rather than tell the good, bad, the ugly, which is what history should do. We tell the bad and the ugly, but never the good. And that's just flat the way we present the founding fathers, is we will not tell something positive about them. We will tell the negatives about them.
Another thing that you point out so well is about ellipses, the use of literally leaving out things like from the Treaty of 1783 or out of the Mayflower Compact that refers to just putting dots in the documents.
Yeah, that's a real common practice. One of the New York Times best-selling books that appears in nearly every public school library, many public school classrooms, is called Don't Know Much About History by Ken Davis. And it purports to introduce kids to what they should be learning in school, which tells us something about education, and that because we're not teaching history, we actually have to have a New York Times bestseller to teach history, which is crazy. So what he does in there is he takes you through the various epochs of American history. And for example, when you get to the American Revolution, the chapter is called Say You Want a Revolution, and it pulls out highlights like Patrick Henry. And Patrick Henry's speech on March 23rd, 1775, doesn't say it's at St. John's Church because that's a religious place, and of course the Founding Fathers not religious, so can't talk about the fact the legislature met there. When Patrick Henry gave his speech, it goes through the thing about give me liberty or give me death. There's an ellipse right middle of the speech, and it's all the places that Patrick Henry mentions God or quotes scriptures. So those are all gone. As you mentioned, the Mayflower Compact, when it gets there, he has an ellipse right at the top where it says, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, the voice of the planet, doesn't want to say that there's religious motivations, because we're all the time telling kids that everybody came to America seeking gold. They were all greedy, that there were no humanitarian purposes involved. Everything was gold. And the same type of thing happens, as you mentioned, with the treaty that ended the American Revolution, the Treaty of Paris. The first line of that treaty says, in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity, and then it's signed by three significant founding fathers, Franklin, John Adams, and John Jay. But if we had that, it might sound like the founding fathers were religious, and they're all supposed to be atheists, agnostics, deists. So ellipses are all over everywhere. The other one that just really gets me, I love to use this with state legislatures when I'm talking to different groups that are working on history standards, is I will hold up the Alexis de Tocqueville Democracy in America the students read today. But the problem was, it says on the front, A Bridge for the Modern Reader. Then I hold up the original Alexis de Tocqueville Democracy in America that I own. It is 3.5 inches thick. What we use in schools today is about 0.5 inch thick. They've cut out about what's that, 75% of the content. And if you look, all the references to religion, to marriage, to morality, to family, they're all gone. Modern kids don't need that kind of stuff, so we cut that out of the history. It really is bad what we do to our kids today.
Wall Builders David Barton will be at the Harvest Leadership Prayer Breakfast. It's actually a week from this Saturday. I said Saturday, but I failed to tell you. Saturday, October 19th from 9 to 10:30 a.m., so plenty of time to circle it on your calendar, get yourself some tickets, and take this all in. Kim, about a minute and a half to the break here, but I want you to talk about how you interacted with David Barton as a legislator. And, you know, he just mentioned how important it is to educate legislators about this and what you as a legislator can do to make sure this information gets to the students.
Well, it's critically important, Scott, and I'm proud today to consider David a friend. I first ran across him many years ago. And actually, it wasn't through my legislative involvement. I was asked to teach an adult Sunday school class in my church. And I just felt that I needed to teach on the topic, One Nation Under God, and with a question mark, are we really? And I started studying. I started digging for information on that. And I had seen something that David Barton had done prior to that. I used material that he had put forth at the time. I used material that Dr. D. James Kennedy had produced, and the son of the former U.S. Senate chaplain. I'm trying to remember.
Good choice. Good choice. Hold that thought, Kim. We're going to go up against a break here. It's a hard break. When we come back, we'll let you finish that story and more with David Barton, who will be here Saturday, October 19th. Stay tuned.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Truckers, if you're headed for the Bakken, remember the best truck wash in the Bakken is the Hurricane Truck Wash. And Anthony's on the phone to tell us why the Hurricane's the best. Anthony, deep cleaning process means you do it better than anybody else, right?
We sure do. We specialize in the Bakken mud. Something that we've learned since we've been in North Dakota is that this mud is harder than it is anywhere else in the world. We developed a process in order to cut that. Not only do we have a great cleaning process, we also have a great lounge for our customers. We want you guys to come in, relax, see our facility, see what makes us the best. Not only that you leave here with a clean truck, we have great personality. We want you to know that we appreciate appreciate your business, and we're showing you that by giving you free food, free drinks, a good lounge, free Wi-Fi, and we also have a shower facility that you can use anytime.
Mention you heard this ad on the radio. Get a free engine wash plus the free VIP access as well with all the goodies and, of course, local shuttle service, too. So it's a great way to go south of the Senex or look for the signs up Highway 8 at Stanley, North Dakota, the Hurricane Truck Wash, the best of the best. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Get a great deal. The Hurricane Truck Wash, Stanley, North Dakota. Hey, Scott Hennem, with a word about longevity and some research that led me to this company. Research that suggests the soils we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and to be healthy. Connect that with the best vitamin and mineral company out there, and you're going to find longevity. The longevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need. Now, once you have that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. Lose weight in a short period of time simply by getting the vitamins and minerals you need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. FlagFamily.com longevity link is a place you can start. Order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement and get started with longevity. You've heard the ads. You've heard the research. Now it's time to begin anew. FlagFamily.com longevity link.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Microplant Powder Gold. Microplant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Microplant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
What's on your mind? Chat with David Barton, who will be a featured speaker at the Valley Christian Leadership Association Harvest Leadership Prayer Breakfast. Kim Kopman, a friend of David's, is with us as well. Kim, of course, is a state legislator. And before the break, I was asking Kim about how he met David and also a little bit about how legislators can benefit from this treasure trove of information. He's been described as America's historian. Time magazine called him a hero to millions, including some powerful politicians, and thrilled that he'll be in the area Saturday, October 19th. Kim, go ahead and finish that.
What I was saying, Scott, is about a dozen years ago, I was actually asked to teach an adult Sunday school class in our church, and I'd done that before, and for some reason I just felt impressed to focus on the topic of one nation under God with a question mark at the end. Are we really one nation under God? I'd been told that since I was a kid in school. We'd all heard the phrase. And by the way, this is before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision on that phrase in the Declaration of Independence. But I started digging for information, for looking for a curriculum or something out there, and couldn't find any. And I found a lot of good stuff. I found information that books that had been written, like a book called Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye, work that the late Dr. D. James Kennedy had done, Peter Marshall, the son of the former U.S. Senate chaplain by the same name, has written good books on this topic. And I came across this guy named David Barton, who had done some videos and other things, and he looked like he was about 12 years old at the time. David is very young looking for his age, if you haven't met him. Still does to some degree. But at any rate, I ran across that information and was just captivated by it. And through the years, I've continued to read and listen to what David has said and written and put out there. And I've been continually impressed. And then several years later, I had the privilege of meeting him. David does an annual legislators conference that I've attended as a participant, and I've also had the privilege of speaking there, and does a fabulous job, brings in just a who's who of tremendous speakers. He does a wonderful tour of his U.S. Capitol, which I've been on twice, in Washington, I believe, for the National Prayer Breakfast, if I remember the timing correctly. And I've just been impressed with the work he's done. He has come under some criticism and some attack for it, which is not surprising when you consider the odds he's up against and the people he's, the entrenched entities in our system that he's challenging. And what he's doing is reminding us of the forgotten history that our parents and grandparents and generations before them learned as fact, and we've been subjected to a lot of revisionist history. So it's refreshing to hear the truth about our founding fathers and our nation. And as the old adage goes, those that don't learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. And if we don't know what makes this country unique, we won't celebrate it, we won't love it the way we probably ought to, and we won't be motivated to preserve it the way we should.
David, how important is your library? I understand you have this massive collection of original writings and documents and artifacts from early America in making the case for real history.
Well, it's been very significant. We've been very blessed. We now own about 100,000 documents from before 1812. So I have thousands of the handwritten writings of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and just all those guys. And so what happens now is when we pull out those materials as proof, it shocks a lot of folks. And a great example is I was actually appointed as one of the three experts in California to do their social studies standards. And so California, not by any shot what you consider to be a conservative state. And so as I reviewed their standards written first by their education department, their teachers, and I reviewed them, and I tore them up, quite frankly. I sent them back. I probably had 60 pages of notes, single-spaced, single-line notes, and showed them all the stuff that I thought was dead wrong in their standards. And I knew that I was fighting a system where they didn't know that. So I included all this documentation. I included just reams of documentation behind it to prove the points I made, and I sent it back, but I'll never hear from them again. And so I got a call about 6 weeks later from the head of their Department of Education, California. She said, Barton, she said, we don't like you. We don't like what you stand for. We don't like what you say. But we went back and checked all that stuff you said, and it turns out you're right, so we're going to include it in the history standards. And so about 95% of what I recommended was included in the California history standards. And it was not because they liked me or agreed with me. It was because those old documents proved the points to be right. And that's where we are now. We've gone through about three generations of bad history teaching, and teachers now teach what their teachers taught them. And if you can get them back to the original documents and show them what actually said, what actually happened, you stand a real good chance of turning things in a different direction.
Unfortunately, we only have a minute left, Mark, but I want you to get in with one last point here for David.
You know, I bought a couple cases of your book, Original Intent, and this book tells in people's own writing what they believed about several things. One of the most valuable aspects is your appendices, including 300 biographical sketches of selected individuals or our founding fathers. Everybody needs to get this Original Intent by David Barton. It is a 500-plus page masterpiece. Thank you for writing it.
My pleasure. We'll probably have that available, gentlemen, when he comes, and we are just really excited to have him in our community. So what you heard today, asking David a question, as you learned, is like taking a drink from a fire hydrant because he's such a wealth of information. We're excited to have him in our community, and this is a real opportunity for people in our region to hear firsthand what he has to say.
Here's a website for more information, fmvcla.com. That's Valley Christian Leadership Association, and the tickets are $12. Students, $8. Available at Family Christian Stores and Hurley's. in Fargo, Melbourne Christian Book and Gift in Moorhead, all Hornbacher's locations, or again online at fmbcla.com. David Barton will be in the neighborhood for our listeners all across North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota. Hope you can attend Saturday, October 19th, 9 a.m., Concordia College Central, Moorhead. Thank you, David. God bless you. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Scott and Mark.
...that asks a very important question. Every day, what's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
In collaboration with South Dakota and Minnesota, the North Dakota Soybean Council is engaged in a project designed to change the way soybean buyers define protein quality. For many years, crude protein has been the conventional measure of soybean protein quality. Yet soybean farmers in our region have lower crude protein levels due to environmental conditions. Careful analysis through several years of research has shown that the protein quality of northern soybeans is much better thanks to their higher concentrations of essential amino acids. Thanks to your checkoff dollars, we are able to conduct this research and educate international buyers on the fact that amino acid content is the more complete and accurate indicator of soybean feeding value. This will ultimately lead to increased market share and higher returns to soybean farmers in this region.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPACH 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwartman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.